I'm going to actually be going rather quickly here, and I just want you to think about it. Write these scriptures down. God's word is powerful. So when we say, I love God, I love others, I serve people, are we just saying it just to say it? Are we going to live it, eat it, breathe it? Are we what we say we are? Are we men and women of God that love God, and do we really love others, or do we tend to love ourselves more than we love others, and do we really serve people when God's saying, you need to serve people? Because he's saying, look, I serve people, you need to serve people. Amen? So as I read these scriptures, it's very important that we understand that these are God's words, not mine. I'm just the messenger. Amen? All right, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 9. It says, now it shall come to pass, say that, now it shall come to pass. Now it shall come to pass. That means it's going to happen, right? If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses, in all which you have set your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Here's the condition. This is what will happen. Here's the condition. Here's what will happen. It's no different than today. Amen? Matthew 22, 34. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees and they gathered together, then one of them, a lawyer, asked a question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength, with your heart, with all your soul, and your mind. In Matthew and Mark, there's different translations. All I want us to see is this, that this is the first and great commandment. Jesus spoke this. Then he goes on saying, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments hang on all the law and the prophets, that we love God and that we love others. Jesus said, you got to love God and you got to love others. You got to love God and you got to love others. This is the first and the second commandment. Hello. Amen. Then it goes on to say with Psalms 34:1, this is a psalm of David. And David was very rejoicing over the power of God working in his life. In Psalms 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I have to ask this question. Do we say, I bless the Lord at all times, and I am negative continually? No, we need to look at things differently. As David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make it boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. If you're in fear, this right here, we can grasp hold of it and says, as I sought the Lord, he delivered me from my fears. Amen. When we see this, I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard me and saved him out of his troubles. Amen. Listen, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. The beginning of wisdom is that we fear the Lord, not in, in reverence, in awe. Amen? He's all powerful. Deliver them. And I love this part. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You know, I remember that one Sunday when I had that piece of pie up here and I took that piece of pie and you guys were, I'd sure like to have a piece of pie. You know, sometimes you just got to get to the place where you just taste the Lord is good. Amen? Amen. You don't know how good it is until you taste it. Once you taste it, it's good. You better stick with it. Amen? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, the bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen. He watches over his word to perform it. Amen. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. With what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So why did I give you all these scriptures? Now, I want you to listen to this. A generation of believers that gives its attention to the word will soon start thinking, speaking, and acting according to its authority. See, there are people out in this world that don't want to live according to the authority of God. And we see the mess that's going on around us. Amen? But as when we call ourselves men and women of God, that means that you and I respect the authority that's given by God's word, not man's word. This is what we're to live by. Amen? So as I was sharing those things from Deuteronomy to 2 Timothy, I want us to understand all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not by man. It's just man wrote it. It's up to us to get into the word and to apply it to our life. When we make God the Father of our life, we'll begin to live out the attributes of the Father. We'll pay attention to what the Father has to say because we trust in him, we trust in his word, and we trust in his spirit. So when you were to look in the word of God, you got saved, it didn't mean you're going to go back to the old style of living anymore. No, you start taking on the attributes of the Father. Philippians 2:5, it says, this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. There's something that you and I need to do that means that we are a new creation in Christ and that we're going to live different as men and women of God. Amen? That means we just don't live like Sunday, that we got it all together and we got our smiles on, we got our jackets on, and then we just live the rest of the week like the world. No, we are to take on the attributes of the Father this generation more than ever. We need people to know, as sons and daughters of God, that we believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, not just on Sunday. This is about that we live a life integrity in line with his character, not the character of the world. Amen? In Romans 8:12, why not start thinking differently? Pastor, I just want a good word for me today. I want to leave better than when I came in. Yeah, God's word will do that. Man won't do that. God's word will do that. Amen. So in Romans 8:12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we are living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In the Aramaic language, Abba means Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if then children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So when we think of the time and the dispensation of when this was written to the Christians in Rome that believed in Jesus Christ, they were going to have to pay the price for some of their beliefs because of Judaism, because of the culture back then. I mean, you worship pagan idols. There are all these different things that were coming against them because, remember, their faith was in Christ, not in the man. And so when they took their faith away from the pagan religions and started serving Christ, what came? Suffering. There became these different things that attacks. I mean, we see it today, don't we? But what we have to believe is this, is that we are joint heirs in Christ Jesus, and we can say, Abba, Father, because it's not by man's plan, it's by God's plan that we can say that we are the children of God. So when we look at what's going on in this world, it's very evident what people are paying attention to do. See the stock market. It seems like you turn on the news, there's so many different things going on. But what I'm encouraging you to do today is pay attention to the Word of God. Live prepared and live ready. Live prepared, live ready, because the Lord is coming back. Live prepared, live ready. Don't get so consumed on all these things that are going on in the world that we are not prepared and not ready, because we're not going to have to stand before Jesus based on what's going on in the world today, based on who's going to be president, what the stock market's going to do. Hello? This is about your soul. This is about your life, that both you and I need to live prepared and live ready, knowing that the Lord is going to return for his adopted children that believe and live out the loyalty as a son and daughter. When people are taken out of here, you do not get to say, God, I'm a son and daughter. Too late. It's going to be the second time around, people. We got to live prepared and ready today. Now, the whole idea is that we love God, love others, and serve others. The whole idea is that we just don't get ready for ourselves. We get prepared, live prepared. We live ready so that when there's opportunities that we put our hope in Christ. But the main thing is that we can share with others the love of Christ. And usually it comes by not preaching at them. It's usually by serving them. Serving the lost. Amen. You don't get access until I trust you. That's what it comes down to. Why should I give you access? If I don't trust you, it's only going to come by the love of God, how we love others, and then as we serve people, that's when you'll be able to speak in Christ into their life. Amen? So I have this object lesson. When you got born again, it's very evident that we know that God's light, right? The Word says, I'm light. I'm the light of the world. If we're to say that's God, now understand this is an object lesson. We know that that's not God, but I'm trying to bring a point across. When we get born again, we can either get closer to God or we can get further away from God. Right? I've seen people that get born again and they get really close to God. And, you know, he's the light. And, you know, I just love you, God. You saved my life. And I'm just so excited. God, you are so awesome. I couldn't feel any better. And, God, I just love you. And, you know, you did that thing for me. And I adore you. But, you know, it's amazing how much further away you can get from God if you don't pay attention to his word and you don't spend time with him. And pretty soon you get so far away that you're not interacting, you're not building that relationship, you're not having fellowship with him. And he's going, come, come, I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to have fellowship with me. But God, I'm so busy. I've got all these things going on. I had the things with the kids, and I had the things with the grandkids, and I had this job, and I had to work late, and I had this thing, and I had that thing, to where you can get yourself so far away from God, God is not moved. God is not moved. You moved. It's your responsibility. See, at the very beginning, in Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, he says, if you, it shall come to pass, if you. He didn't say it'll come to pass if I. He says, I've done all that. He says, it will come to pass if you. If you do these things, then this is what he'll do. Amen? The devil's pretty crafty. He'll use different things to distract and detour, and he'll get the believer not to, come on, we got to pray around God. We got to really focus in. God, in you I trust. God, I put my trust in you. God, I thank you that my angels are camped around about me. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord. Then the next thing you know, all these different things of the world tend to blind the eyes of the believer and get their eyes off of the Lord. And God's saying, look, I don't want your eyes off of me. They need to be focused on me. As you stay focused on me, as you stay focused on me, it's really hard to get distracted if you keep your eyes on the Lord. If I'm this close without getting burnt, he's the light. Man, look at that reflection. Look at the reflection under my hands. You notice when I get away, there's not so much reflection, is there? But when I spend time with the Lord, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And my focus is right there. In God, in you I trust. God, in you I trust. No weapon formed against me will prosper. In God I trust. I keep my focus on you. That's just common sense. As a believer, can we just use common sense? Because if there's anything the enemy's going to do is to get us not to use God's sense, but what he's going to want us to use is world sense. God, I'll come to you when I need you. I want you to come to me in the nick of time. God, I want you to be there when I cry out because I'm losing everything. Wait, why weren't you there at the beginning? Why didn't you stay there and keep your eyes focused on the Lord? There's been times I haven't been focused. We need to do a reality check between us and God sometimes. But it's not actually sometimes. It's supposed to be every day. The reality check of who we're really surrendering to is something that we are to do every day, because the voice of this world is going to try to distract us not to trust in him. Either we're going to live as sons of God or sons of the world. Don't take salvation for granted. Our Father in heaven had his Son pay a great price so that we could call ourselves sons of God and to have everlasting life. Don't take your salvation for granted. Every morning we should probably wake up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're a good God. Thank you, Jesus. That's why it's so important that we say we truly love God, but we live it, and that we recognize that we're sons of God out of a pure heart, that we love him. Jesus had a great parable of God's example of love. Turn to Luke 15:11. And many of us know this parable. It is the parable of the prodigal son. Now, I'm actually going to only do part of it because of time, but you can read that for yourself, Luke 15:11. But I want us to see Jesus is trying to make a point here. he actually was talking about one. If one sheep is lost, you go and get the sheep that's lost and leave the 99 and then remember the lost coin. But this is about Jesus talking about a father and two sons. And so then Jesus said that a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me." So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. So something changed. When he left, he made himself a citizen, trying to make himself, maybe this will work out better, but it didn't. Okay? And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. Gave him anything. So regardless of where he was before and where he was right now, regardless of where his dad was living, where he was at in that country, he was very hungry that he went to the extent of eating the food that the pigs were eating. And yet nobody cared enough to give him anything else. Now listen, it says, but when he came to himself, it means when he came to his senses, it was like, what am I doing here? And he goes, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I'll arise and go to my father and say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Say, had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And in your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring a fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, can you see something here? Can we see something here? We were born into this sin-cursed world. You know, and to think of God knowing us from the very foundations of the world, he knew our name, but think of this, that we were born into this sin-cursed world, but yet because of our Heavenly Father, when we get born again, it says, bring a robe, bring a ring, and bring the fatted calf. We're going to eat. I'm rejoicing over my son or daughter not be lost, but that they are found. I'm a father moved with compassion and love. Let's have fun. Amen? Amen. But what I want us to see is this. We see the actual love of our Heavenly Father. All of us have missed it. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But yet, we still have to believe when we say that we're still sons of the King. When we say that we're children of God, we need to understand this saying, that is my child, and I love my child. Now, that doesn't mean that we just have an excuse to sin and do whatever we want. It's about us living a life to honor the Father, that we can actually say, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. There's something about repentance that brings us back into the righteousness of God, to have right standing with the Father. So when we think of repentance in our lives every day, don't think of it as being something, it's something I got to do. Oh, I don't really want to do it. We're not to live a life of remorse. We're to live a life of repentance because there's only one that lived without sin or any blemish, and that was Jesus Christ. It's an honor that we can call ourselves children of God, but there was one that paid the price, and that was Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. So when we submit to authority of our Heavenly Father, we know that this unlocks the unlimited potential of the blessings of God. Did you get that? All right, I got to say it one more time. When we submit to the authority of our Heavenly Father, we know that this unlocks the unlimited potential of the blessings of God. How many here want to go back to the old way of living? Just raise your hand. There ain't one of us in this room. Why? Because we understand when we accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, it unlocked the unlimited potential in Christ Jesus from our Father. Amen? It doesn't say that by our words that we live and move and have our being. According to Acts 17:20, it says, For in him we live and move and have our being. It says also from our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I think, wow, we're part of the offspring of God. When we got born again, we could say, Abba, Father. Remember the spirit of adoption that you and I can say, I'm a child of God. That we literally are from his offspring. So it's by his words, the words of the Father, that we can live this Christian life successfully. Even Jesus makes this very clear. When we look at Matthew 4:4, it says, remember the devil came to tempt him. He was very hungry, 40 days, 40 nights out in the desert. And the devil came, look, I'm going to get you, Jesus. But Jesus was solid. He says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Even that statement right there should influence our life to live according to the word of God. If Jesus says it, then we should be saying it as well. Amen? So then when Jesus spoke this, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we also have to believe that God watches over his word to perform it. Amen? All right. According to Isaiah 55. But we also have to believe this. According to Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many here have ever felt alone some days? We've all felt alone. We've all cried. We've all felt sorry for ourselves. We have had pity on ourselves. God, where are you? But yet the scripture still holds true. That you're a child of God, and he's saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Man, that to me says this. That's the kind of father we want to serve. That's the kind of father that we want to serve when he's saying, regardless of what you're going through, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Remember the scripture, when you go through the valley of death, notice it doesn't say when you stay in the valley of death. No, when you go through. When you go through the valley of death. And there's times we feel like we're dying in our mind, but in our spirit, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to remember God's love for us because he does love us. And because of that great truth, living in this present generation, we need to remember as adopted children of God that we live out the legacy of our Abba Father by living to give glory, honor, and praise in everything that we do. Amen? Amen. Live to give God the glory and honor as dear children of God.